We have one person in the audience here who said their site is going to be for a student group that may want to take donations. So we're going to talk a little bit about what tools Google provides to you that you can use in your CS50 final projects. So the quick disclaimer up front, I don't work for Google. I have no affiliation with Google. I basically picked one of the two major vendors here, Google and PayPal. I picked Google because it was pretty easy to learn and get up and running, and seemed to have the lowest overhead in terms of costs that you pay up front to get started. Namely, you pay nothing to get set up, which is a good thing. So what does Google Checkout do for you? Well, first off, it's a way for you to process sales. It provides mechanisms for integrating point of sale into your website. So that means that you can have items that you're selling. It means that they give you tools for setting up a checkout cart, a shopping cart, so you can buy multiple items. And they will take care of the hard work of dealing with credit cards and such and leave you to just figure out what you want to sell on your site and actually do the design of your site and leave the financial side to them. One other note about this is that from your buyer's perspective, it lets them buy things securely. So believe it or not, some people may not feel comfortable sending a Harvard student their credit card number. So this is a way for them to avoid that. So why do I care about this? Well, basically it comes down to I want to sell things or otherwise do financial transactions. I don't want to deal with credit cards, and I don't want to have to go write a bunch of JavaScript and PHP to actually deal with all of this and to keep track of what people have bought and carry that information around. So how do you get started with this? So I spent a few hours looking into this and trying it out. What I found is that it's pretty straightforward. What you need to do as a student who wants to integrate Google Checkout into your website is start by going to checkout.google.com/sell. They have a login there if you have a Gmail account. And if you don't, you can go ahead and either create one or you can use another email address to get yourself registered. They're going to be looking for information like your bank information or your credit card information, what your organization is, and so forth. Basically, all the financial information that someone might expect to have to be able to give you money. The way that Google basically works is they're going to verify that you're a legitimate person selling things so that they can then turn around and process transactions for your customers when they come in and sort of build that level of trust. You do need to have certain things like a bank account or credit card information where they can deposit the money. You're going to need to pick the name that you want to appear on people's credit card statements. There's some of that kind of work, which I'm not going to go into any depth on here. Basically, it's a pretty straightforward process where you need to deal with whatever tax implications or whatever else come up in the process. But that's not really why we're here in computer science. We're looking at the other side, building the software. So once you're done setting up your account, you're ready to integrate Google Checkout with your site. So to do that, it turns out that Google's provided a lot of information for you. So their site, code.google.com/APIs/checkout, is a place where you can go to read about their APIs, that's their programming interfaces. You can read their documentation about how to use this. They have some tutorials to get you started. And we're going to go through some of that right now, so hopefully it will be a relatively painless process when you go and try and do it yourself. So let's do it. So what I did was I put together a little site, which is very exciting. It is my raison d'etre, which is to create and sell funny hats. In particular, I went and searched on the internet and found some funny hats and decided to make a very bare-bones site for it. So this is my store pre-Google Checkout. I go and say what the name of my store is, and I've got a picture of the hat I'm selling, as well as a description and a price, all reasonable things. And just for the audience member, if you do have any questions or you want to stop me at any time, let me know. So here's the site pre-Google Checkout. Not very exciting. In particular, it says, to buy any of our items, please call us. That's not very webbish. So what we'd like is for someone to be able to come down here, if we look next to the item that we're selling, and just click on a button that will automatically buy it and let them enter their credit card information. So how do we go about doing this? Well, the first thing we need to do is log into our Gmail, or rather our Google Checkout account, which I will do now. And in particular, one thing you might note is that the URL at the top of this page says sandbox.google.com/checkout. The reason why I'm at a site that says sandbox is because during this demo, I don't actually want to charge my credit card. So Google gives you two copies of all their tools, a sandbox copy where you can play around and a real copy where when people buy things, it will charge them money and you'll be expected to ship them things or otherwise send them confirmation. So when you log in to Google Checkout as a vendor, as someone who's selling things, this is what you'll see. Now, if you're actually selling things, you won't have the red background saying sandbox. You can see here that there's some information about me, about my MasterCard, and so forth. No need to focus in on that. More importantly, I've logged into the, I've logged into the buyer page rather than the seller page. So I'm actually going to sign out for a second here. So instead, I made a mistake. When I logged in, I went to sandbox.google.com/checkout, and I meant to go to /checkout/sell, which is where you go if you're actually selling things. But I'm going to log in the same way. The difference is that instead of seeing information about my past purchases, I'm brought to a console where I will end up seeing sales listed in the bottom half of the screen. And I have up at the top links that say things like tools. And I'll make this a little bit bigger. And it's looking for my bank account information. So let's get started the quick way. So jumping back, here's what my website looked like. I've got an item. I want people to be able to click on a link that will sell it to them immediately. To do that, we probably want a light integration with Google Checkout. We want a Buy Now button. So if we click on the Buy Now button, it will walk us through the process of creating a Buy Now button. When you create a Buy Now button, you need to give a few pieces of information, and it will go ahead and create the code for you. The basic information you need to provide is, do you have a simple Buy Now button, or does your Buy Now button need to be accompanied by some details? For example, if you were selling t-shirts, you might not just be selling small t-shirts, but also possibly medium or large t-shirts and so forth. There's not much difference to what we need to do, so I'm going to walk through a basic button setup. Once you've decided whether you're doing a basic button or a button with options, you then need to decide how it's going to look on your page. They basically give you two options, whether you're website has a white background and the area around the image they're giving you is white, or whether you have a potentially colored background and so they want a transparent GIF. So you can see the difference here in that choice. By clicking on colored, you can see that this will overlay nicely on any color. So let's get to the interesting part. When I am done picking how my button should look, I need to say what I'm selling. So if I say that the item I'm selling is a very funny hat, and I want to sell it for $5, and type in a short description, I can then go ahead and just click on Create Button Code, which will generate a piece of HTML for me that I can drop into my page. So let's take a second before we paste this in and take a look at it in a text editor here. So what we have here is a form that we're going to be adding to our page. Our form has an action, which is posting to Google's website. The method is post. There's some other information that's specific to Google. And within our form, there's a number of inputs. So we have, of these inputs, one that's interesting, which is down here, the last one, input alt equals nothing in quotes, source equals, and then some image name. All the others, it turns out, are marked as being hidden. So I'm going to lob a question out to the audience. Do you know why you would use a hidden item? Okay. So in a HTML form, you can have items that appear on your page, like images or buttons or dropdowns and things like that. But you can also say, this form defines some fields and values that go in those fields that are hidden, that the user's not supposed to change. So what Google has done is said, when someone clicks on this button, I want you to go ahead and submit to this page, but they've also said that I want the item name 1 to be the value very funny hat, item description 1 to be this is a very funny hat, and so forth. That they're embedding into your site the information that you just entered on their form. So I've pre-prepared a page that does this. So I went and I have my cloud account and I'm in my public HTML directory. And the first page I showed you was single item sales, which was pretty simple. It just had a table which had a header and a single item in it, a single row. I'm now going to augment that by pasting in this information that they've provided so that now I have an extra column in my table that says buy now and has dropped into that cell the piece of code they provided. Yes? Sure. One second. So we have the header information, which says that there are columns are the image, the description, the price, and buy now. And what you can see is that my item has an image, a title, a price, and then for the last cell, it has the piece of code that Google provided to us. So if I go ahead now and switch to my web browser, and I load up that page, what we see is we now have a buy now button. Very exciting. Now more exciting, if you click on that, it takes you to a Google page where you can provide your Google account information if you've already signed up as a buyer, or if you haven't signed up, you can provide your credit card number, cardholder name, billing address, so forth, and so on. So I'm going to go ahead and log in as myself. And you can see here at the top that my item has shown up here. And there's also the order details. You know, we have what the store is that you're buying from gets automatically entered in here. So if I go ahead and sign in, it enters my information, which will end up getting blacked out on the video. And place your order now is a button that I get to click on. So I can go ahead, place my order, and it thanks me for buying a very funny hat. So it gives me information about how I can check up on that, gives me ways that I can sort of go forward from here to buy other things. So this is the most basic thing that you can do with Google Checkout. You can add the ability to buy things and click on one link and have it buy the item associated with that image. So before we move on, do you have any questions on that? Okay. This is all well and good, but it may be that some of you aren't looking to create just a single button where people can add a single item to their cart and then check out. That may be appropriate for some cases, in particular donations, that might be a reasonable one. But we're going to go ahead and show another example. So let's go back to our favorite store. Now, our very funny hat store may end up having multiple hats that are for sale. The baseball hat, the ever-popular cow hat, the hot dog hat, and the somewhat hideous spider hat there at the bottom. Now, let's say you wanted to sell all these items, but you want to give your users the ability to not just say, go buy this thing and have an order get processed, and then click on something else when they want to buy another one. Instead, we want to keep track of what are all the things they want and how many of each one they want. Well, it turns out that there are a number of vendors out there that sell shopping cart code to you and will help you set this up. Most of them cost money. Google provides one for free, so we're going to talk about the free one. Google Checkout has a shopping cart feature which will do exactly that. So if we go back to the sales side of the house, and we come back up to the top, we have under Tools a checkout cart option. Now, when we click on this, They point out that if you need features such as inventory management, so if you're keeping track of what things you have in stock and what things you don't, they suggest you use a shopping cart from one of their partners. You can go pay them if that's the appropriate thing to do for your business. But if you're feeling cheap or you don't have a very complex site that you're putting together, there's only, yet again, a few things that you need to decide before you can add a shopping cart to your page. The first one is whether you're going to do a simple product, one with multiple options, and one with multiple prices. This is very similar to what we saw before, where you might have a t-shirt that comes in different sizes. And you can add more, you know, depending on what the demographic is that you're selling to. There may be many more. So you can also have multiple prices that go along with each of these items. But for now, for our hat store, we're going to go ahead and just say, well, let's have a baseball hat that costs $5. Now, one thing that's changed from the last version that we saw to this one is that there's an image URL option. So the image URL lets you embed an image into the shopping cart so that when the customer is browsing through the items that they've already said they want to buy, they'll be able to see a graphical reminder of what the thing is that they are actually looking to purchase. So here, I'm going to enter in the URL of my baseball hat image. And now I have a preview option here. And you can see that this little button now, when I say add to cart, changed my cart over here. And every time I hit add, you can see it's updating the quantity field next to this item. So this looks good. It's kept track of my price and multiplied it by 3. Now there's one other thing that we need to do before we can create this code, which is to answer the question, yes, I have configured my account to accept unsigned shopping carts. Basically, Google has provided you with something which is not the most secure thing in the world. It's possible that some malicious hacker could come along and post directly to Google claiming to be from your site saying, here's the thing I want to buy. They may do that to change the price that's being submitted and so forth. Google has basically said the tool that we're providing to you is not the best one on the market, but it's reasonable. So it'll be up to you as the person running the site to make sure that when an order comes in, that the prices listed on the items and the actual items are reasonable things that you really are selling and you're selling for that price. If you were to use a more complex shopping cart piece of software, it might sign them. And by sign, I mean attach a digital signature to the information coming from the shopping cart and going to Google. Google doesn't provide that out of the box, though. So there's a checkbox in one of the other settings panes that you need to click to make this work. And if I go ahead now and say, yes, I've gone and done that, it can create the button code for me. So unlike the last one that we saw, there's two pieces of code here. And this is where Google is getting a little bit fancier. The first piece of code is the code that you're supposed to add to the appropriate location for your product. So let's take a look at that code first. So what they have given us is a div. And inside that div, there are a few different items. I'm just going to tab this out so that you can see it a little bit better. We've created a division. Make that bigger. We've created a division, or rather Google has, that is of class product. And we can assume that what they're going to do is go and modify this using a piece of JavaScript, which we'll get to in a minute. But you can see that some of the things that were in the form before have now been passed over to here. For example, we have an input whose value is baseball hat, with class is product title. Again, type is hidden. We've also now embedded the image. We've passed that in, not as an image itself, but just as a reference to the URL where the image is located. The class of that is product image, and the type is again hidden. And then lastly, there's a div here, which has a title, add to cart, role is button, and the class is Google Cart Add Button. This is all custom divs and custom classes that have been provided by Google so that their JavaScript can find things on your page and wire things up properly, which we'll see in a minute. The way that that wiring happens is through the second piece of code they provide, which is a script. They refer to a piece of JavaScript, and that is on their server, that you have to reference from your page to get their functionality. And what they tell us to do, if we jump back here, is they tell us to add this to each HTML page right before the close body tag. So if you go ahead and do this, which I have already done, and I've actually taken the liberty of doing this for each of my hats here, is you get something that looks like this. We have an add to cart button next to each of my hats, and so I can go ahead and say, like, one baseball hat, two cow hats, a hot dog hat, and then if I look and say, ooh, it's a little bit expensive, maybe I'll get rid of the hot dog hat, I can click remove, I can change the number of things that I want, and it'll all get updated in real time. And when I'm done as a customer, I click on Google Checkout, and it will take me to a page just like what I saw before, where I can now go ahead and place my order. So it turns out this is pretty much all you need to do to get up and running right out of the gates. There's a few little things that are gotchas that are worth pointing out. And there's one primary one that I want to point out because it took me a little while to figure it out, which is when you're working in the sandbox, you have to make a small modification to the code that is provided by Google. It took a little bit of searching around to find this, so I'm going to just show you. In my the page that sells multiple things, at the bottom, I made this reference to their script, and the one thing that I had to add to get this to work was to say, post cart to sandbox equals true. If you add that to the script that they have you paste into the bottom right above the body tag, then you're able to use this page to post to the sandbox. So you can use this without having it charge people when they click through on these things. It's an important thing to know because otherwise you'll get an oops error that is very uninformative. So that is that's one thing you need to figure out. The other thing I want to point out to you is that what we've done is we figured out how the pages work on the front end. Once someone goes and buys things, you actually need to go and do things with that information. So back in the console, logged in as the merchant or the Google account that owns this page, what you'll see is that if I look at the orders tab, I now have two different orders that have shown up from customers, in this case me. You can see these are the two orders that I just placed. The first from my Buy Now site is down here, and the second one that came in 8 minutes later is from the site with the shopping cart. Both of them appear in the same interface. There's no real distinguishing way to distinguish between them. But you do need to take care of these somehow. Presumably, assuming you actually want to take money from these people, you should say you want to charge them. And then if you're actually shipping something, in this case hats, once you're ready to ship it and you've put it into a box, you click on the ship button. I know this is a little hard to see at home. Which will tell you the items, and it will let you choose how you shipped it, FedEx, UPS, etc., let you fill in a tracking number so that you can send a confirmation to the person who bought it. And Google will take care of all of the details of making the emails go back and forth. It's up to you to actually put something into a box and send it out to your customers as you see fit. So that's all the technical content that we have on Google Checkout. It turns out it's a pretty straightforward interface to use. And to get up and running, it took me about an hour of just sort of reading the docs, trying to understand what was going on. And then I spent probably 3 hours putting together examples last night. So all told, 4 hours got me up and running with a site. And I managed not to charge myself anything along the way off my credit card. So are there any questions on this? So let's see, do I have any slides left? So one thing I did want to point out, some people have asked me about things like transferring money between two people. So I, you know, want to create a site that lets people sell books to each other, and I want to take some percentage of the... Well, it turns out that neither Google nor PayPal provides a development interface to support that. They're really aimed... Their customers, Google's and PayPal's, are the little shops that sell things on eBay. They're student groups that want to take donations. They're little mom-and-pop shops that have set up a website and want to take orders. They're not really in the business of helping people transfer money to other people. They sort of assume that the money should always be coming to you, the person who's running the website. So it may be possible to set something up, but it's not something that is supported by the APIs that are provided by either Google or PayPal. So what have we learned so far? What we learned today is that buy now buttons are really easy to get up and running. The Google checkout shopping cart is a little bit more tricky, but not so hard to get set up either. We saw a walkthrough of how to get those onto your page. The next thing for you to do is to figure out what you want to actually put on your page. Go play around in the sandbox so you don't charge something to your credit card, hopefully. And then lastly, the thing you should really do is get yourself up and running, get yourself into some trouble, find problems, and go read the forums that they have set up on Google Checkout, as well as the documentation they've provided. You'll probably find that very useful. If you do have questions, I'm not necessarily an expert on it, but I'm happy to take questions over email as well, which you can reach me through the CS50 website. My email address is up there. If you do have any questions, please follow up if you have any questions. So that's Google Checkout in a nutshell. Thank you.